Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Shri Sai Ram. Loving Sai Ram and respectful greetings to all the listeners of Morning Glory. My name is Karuna and I thank you for joining us on Morning Glory Thursday Live, coming to you in real time from Prashanthi Nilayam, Andhra Pradesh, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. Today, dear listeners, is the 7th day of June 2018 and the current time in the Divine Valley is exactly 40 minutes past 9 a.m. that is Indian Standard Time. It is also the perfect time, dear listeners, to focus on the love and light of all our collective lives, the source of divine, unconditional and infinite grace and protection that we enjoy unasked, our beloved and beautiful God, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Let us offer our loving salutations at His lotus feet in our hearts. How can we ever thank you enough, dear Bhagwan? The current temperature outside our studios right now is 26 degrees Celsius. Today we are expecting daytime highs of 34 and overnight lows of 24 degrees Celsius in the Divine Valley. Tomorrow promises to be a notch cooler. Overcast skies and rains are expected throughout the next few days. Intermittent rains, that is. By the way, dear listeners, did you even know that we had quite a monsoon storm on Sunday night here, that is a few days ago. And it happened here in the Divine Valley and all the surrounding areas. So everything is looking very lush green. So clearly the universe did pay attention and the universe was listening to Morning Glory, where we were pleading for the monsoon to come soon. And it looks like that the prolonged spell of hot weather is over. We have cracked the 38 degrees floor and we are on to better weather conditions and definitely very cool, breezier mornings and evenings and night times. Over the next few weeks, the weather forecast is calling for a marked relief from the heat that we had experienced earlier in the month of May. And personally, I've always maintained that it's a divine conspiracy because Swami's beloved students are back to their schools and colleges around this time of the year and He likes to treat them to kinder weather conditions as part of their welcome home. And why not? Swami has always described His students as His only property and they in turn reciprocate that sentiment by making Him always happy and proud. Dear listeners, this morning I'd like to begin Morning Glory on a somber note. As you may have gathered over the past few weeks, there is so much excitement buzzing in the Sai world due to the upcoming ATP or Anandpur Golden Jubilee celebrations, which are going to take place on July 21st and 22nd right here in Prashanthi Nilayam. Well, among the thousands of excited ladies who shared their love and gratitude for their glorious event was our dear sister, Mrs. Usha Mahalingam Udayan of Toronto, Canada. Shortly after recording her loving message, our dear sister returned home to her divine founder chancellor of her alma mater, her beloved Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. 9 days ago, on last Wednesday, May 30th, 2018, in Toronto, Canada, Usha returned to the arms of her divine mother. Before breathing her last, she was effusive in her love for her university and her beloved Divine Founder Chancellor. On behalf of the entire Anantapur alumni fraternity, we pray for her sweet and smooth and total merger into her source. We also pray for strength for her family, her three beautiful children, her husband, Brother Aruno, and her parents, and her dad being the respected Mahalingam Sir, the former librarian at our university. May she rest in peace. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. This is the message that our dear sister, Mrs. Usha Mahalingam Udayan, recorded for the upcoming Anantapur Golden Jubilee celebrations. Today, with her departure from this world, every single word she spoke acquires heightened significance. Have a listen, please.
Om Shri Sai Ram. My name is Usha Mahalingam Udayan from Toronto, Canada. I was blessed to do my BSc Home Science in the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning Anantapur campus from 1986 to 1989. As a foreign student who was so blessed to come and study in our divine alma mater at the lotus feet of our beloved Bhagavan in his timeless, ageless educational mission, this year's Golden Jubilee is a real reflection for me on just how far Swami's mission has spread and we as alumni, as messengers, have spread across the world. Many of us were blessed to come and study at his lotus feet from other countries, and now more and more we are all spreading across the world, partaking in his mission and spreading his name and glory. Swami, I thank you so much for all that you have done for us. And to my dearest sisters, I wish you all a very happy, happy Golden Jubilee celebrations on July 21st and 22nd. Jai Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, that was possibly one of the last sound bites recorded by our dear sister, Usha Mahalingam Udayan, before she merged into Bhagwan 9 days ago in Canada. May she find herself in the divine embrace of her divine mother, Sai. May her soul rest in peace.
दिल की पुकार सुन लो
Sairam, dear listeners, you are tuned to Morning Glory on Thursday Live, coming to you from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, where the time right now is 50 minutes past 9 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time. Coming up on the show today, a brand new episode of Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories with Mr. Gopal Krishna. He's in conversation with my colleague, Brother Bishu Prushti. Today, I will play part one of this file, and over the next couple of weeks, next 2 weeks, you can catch part two and three right here, same place, same time. But first, I have lined up the golden voices of the golden girls of God Incarnate, who are all gushing with excitement over the upcoming Anantapur Golden Jubilee celebrations on July 21st, 2018 at the Lotus Feet here in Prashanthi Nilayam. Have a listen, please. And dear listeners, we are eagerly awaiting your feedback to this segment of Morning Glory as well as any other Radio Sai programs. As always, you can reach us by email at listener@radiosai.org. On that note, I wish you a saisome awesome day ahead. Be well, take care, and do whatever it takes to stay in a positive space. In your head, I mean. Right now, let us bow to the divine lotus feet of our beloved Sai Ma and enjoy the rest of the show.
Om Shri Sai Ram. I am Saundarya Preeta from Coimbatore. I did my BA and MA at Anantapur between 1993 and 1998. The whole Golden Jubilee celebrations, the preparations for it are so amazing. It has made hundreds of us living across the world think and talk about Swami and the Institute. I look forward to being at Parthi on July 21 and 22. Sai Ram.
My humble pranams to Bhagwan Baba and Sai Ram to all. I am Lata Rangarajan, currently residing in California, USA. I completed my intermediate and BCom degree from the years 1978 to 1983 as Hemalatha Venkatesan. I am proud to be an alumnus of Sathya Sai Institution. This institution has taught me the importance of values, spirituality, and discipline that has shaped me to be the person I am today. Swami has been the guiding light for me and my family, and I am extremely grateful to have gained knowledge in an institution that imparts Swami's message Satya Dharma Shanti Prema. Bhagwan Baba continues to guide me at all times, and no words can express my gratitude to Swami for His divine blessings. I hope to be there at Parthi for the Anantapur Golden Jubilee on July 21st and 22nd. Sai Ram.
Om Shri Sai Ram. I am P. Radha from Karnool district, Andhra Pradesh. I did my intermediate and BSc from Anantapur campus during 1981-86. I feel immensely happy to attend Anantapur campus Golden Jubilee celebrations. It's giving me a wonderful opportunity to meet all our old friends. It's like homecoming and a big family reunion in presence of Swami. A great occasion to reminisce, recollect the beautiful and sweet moments spent in both Anantapur campus and with Swami. I pray to Swami wholeheartedly to guide me and make me His worthy instrument in His divine mission. We'll be there on July 21st and 22nd, eagerly awaiting for the golden moments. Jai Sai Ram.
Loving Sai Ram to all members of Swami's large ever-expanding global family, this is Satya from USA. I have completed my bachelor's in science majoring in physics from Swami's amazing Anandpur campus in 1991. I'd never seen Swami before my Anandpur days, even though I was named after him. So my 3 years at Anandpur was an eye-opening, unforgettable, once-in-a-lifetime experience for me. Through the superb teachers at Anandpur, I received world-class education not only in science subjects like mathematics, physics, chemistry, but also in languages like Sanskrit and English, and all this was free of cost. Caring teachers at the hostel taught some unforgettable lessons like the value of food and water. We were fed very tasty food by the superb kitchen staff. During our regular trips to Puttaparthi, Swami showered us with countless darshans, discourses, bhajans, pad namaskars, saris, diaries, pens, etc. And one unforgettable gift, his own robes. Swami said, "Blouse lukutinchkondi," meaning get some blouses stitched while giving us the robes. Of course, we protested, "No, Swami," because we couldn't imagine cutting up the rope to stitch blouses. Through Swami and my 3 years at Anandpur, I learned the importance of equality of all human beings and religions, compassion towards animals, power of prayer, value of food, education and healthcare. A big thank you and Sai Ram, always, from this one drop of water in the boundless ocean of Swami.
Sai Ram to one and all, this is daughter of Swami by name Sai Leela, from Kadiri near Prashanti Nilayam, 1987 batch of Home Science, of Anandpur campus. Golden Jubilee celebrations of Anandpur campus, that itself sounds great. I am really blessed to be a part of it. GJC is an occasion where all the daughters, both alumni and present students, enjoy the divine essence and pay gratitude to our beloved Almighty by implementing what He really wishes us to do. Urukunda is the place where the divine relationship has started between Sai Ma and me through Balvikas. My studies in Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning for 5 years strengthened this relationship, which made me to serve several types of patients with relevant diet. As per Bhagavan's sankalp, I could offer him a flower bouquet once on his 60th birthday and again on Avatar Day 2017. Swami's word that I stay near by him came true as I became resident of Kadiri. Swami, I am nothing without you. Swami, I will definitely come to Patti for Golden Jubilee celebrations on July 21st and 22nd. Jai Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, my name is Soumya Rupa. I live at Puttaparthi. I did my BA and BEd at the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Anandpur campus from 1984 to 1988. In January 1985, Bhagwan had come to Anandpur. I had flitted and floated in the breeze in the butterfly dance that we performed in Bhagwan's immediate presence. To me, the Golden Jubilee celebration is all of us butterflies gathering at Bhagwan's lotus feet to fold our wings in gratitude and enjoy His nectarine love and grace.
I am Annapurna Kada from Hyderabad. I completed my graduation in Commerce from Anandpur campus in the year 2001. I strongly believe that this is a golden opportunity given to me by my beloved Mother Sai. I feel extremely privileged to belong to the very institute that has been founded by the Lord Himself, and the very institution founded by Him is now celebrating Golden Jubilee on July 21st and 22nd. This is a homecoming to all of us alumni, and this is our collective offering at His lotus feet. This would enable us to reconnect with our sisters all over the world and also to reconnect with our teachers who played the main role in shaping our personality. I would definitely be there on July 21st and 22nd. I thank Swami to have given me this opportunity. Sai Ram.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, our series of conversations with former students of Bhagwan's educational institutions. Today is May 20th, 2018, and a few days ago there was an announcement in the Sai Kulwant Hall about the results of Sri Satya Sai Gurukulam, Bhagwan's school in Rajamahendravaram, which is an institution directly under the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. All the 30 students who appeared for grade 10 examinations achieved first class with distinction, with 7 of them securing above 90%. Bhagwan established this school way back in 1981, and since then he personally guided the growth of the school over all these years. Swami handpicked the principal of the school too, who is a former student of Bhagwan's university, and now since 2017 the warden of the school is also an alumnus of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, and he is Dr. C.R. Gopalakrishnan. Again, how Swami pulled Brother Gopalakrishnan, who was working thousands of miles away in Texas Tech University in Texas, USA, and in a matter of few moments, how he completely changed the direction of his life is something really fascinating and highly inspiring, to say the least. And we are really grateful to Bhagwan that we have him with us today, Brother Gopal, for this episode of Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. As I just mentioned, he has had some really fantastic and revealing moments with the Lord after he left the portals of Bhagwan's University in 1992. And as a student too, his journey of discovering who is Sai is another spellbinding story. He joined the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Prashant Nilam campus, for his Master's in Chemistry in 1990. And he continued his stellar academic record by securing a gold medal for this degree from Bhagwan's hands. Earlier, he was a rank holder, standing first in his college while he did his bachelor's in sciences in CMB College, Bharatiyar University, Coimbatore, Tamil Nadu. After his post-graduation in Swami's University, he got his PhD from Raman Research Institute, Bengaluru in 1998. And then he worked as assistant research scientist in Unilever Research India in Bengaluru for 3 years. And then in 2001, he moved to the US as a postdoctoral fellow and eventually moved on to become assistant professor at Texas Tech University in Texas. Thanks to his impressive work while he was in the US, where he guided 4 PhD students, he, with time, became the executive committee member of the Division of Environmental Chemistry of American Chemical Society and was also its program chair, its chemistry division's program chair from 2005 to 2008. Between 2004 and 2012, he organized and chaired several international symposia, wrote 3 book chapters, and had 30 peer-reviewed articles in international journals, presentations, and posters at international conferences. Another notable achievement was to get research grant of $10 million from the U.S. Army Research Development Command between the years 2004 and 2012. Besides, he was part of the awards committee of U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. So, those are just a few highlights of his excellent professional career as a professor and scientist. His CV actually runs into 25 pages. I just try to give you a gist of how successful he was as a teacher, as a research guide, as a professor, and as a scientist. And then the bolt from the blue, or rather, bolt from the orange happened, and he found himself in the Sri Satya Sai Gurukulam, Rajamahendravaram, in 2013. He joined there as a teacher, teaching school children of 8th, 9th, 10th grade, and later became the deputy correspondent of the school, and since 2017 is the warden of Sri Sathya Sai Gurukulam Boys Hostel. He, along with his wife, now happily serve in this institution started by Bhagwan, and this school has become their life's mission now, even as they constantly struggle, innovate, pray and persevere to take this institution, which was personally established by Swami, to great heights, to heights that Swami would be proud of. So with great joy, I welcome you, brother, to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories.
Thank you so much.
So, let's begin from when the bolt from the orange hit you.
First hit me, yes. That was in 1989. I was still a student at the CBM college. It was the fifth semester. Back then we had semester system. And it was the fifth semester and the exams were nearing. And one day, it happened over a short period of time, not exactly one day, I had this urge to go and see Sathya Sai Baba. Now, I must give a little background there. I was even then very fond of things that are beyond this world, stranger things. Mm-hmm. A magazine called Mirror was published by Times of India, and in that one particular series of article by one author by name Raghavendra Rao used to fascinate me. And as time passed by...
So what was special about these series of articles?
This series of article mentioned things that are out of the world. Like, in one instance, there was this couple who were visiting Roman ruins. Mm-hmm. And they saw a whole Roman squad walk past them in their regal dress. Mm-hmm. And they thought it was some dramatization or something, and they tried to follow the army or the squad, which turned across a wall and had simply vanished. Mm-hmm. And since there were two of them, they could corroborate that, yes, this really, both of them really saw and didn't dream. They went and asked the curator of that ruins, etc., but nobody said there was nothing like this organized. Then there was this case of people being at two places at the same time. Mm-hmm. Then there is cases where there is this Brazilian famous case of Arrigo, who was a penknife surgeon, who would cut open people using a penknife and cure them of several incurable diseases. Mm-hmm. These kind of things always fascinated
me. So all this extrasensory phenomenon,
yes,
out of the world
facts
things. Facts and happening, that's what always sort of
attracted
me.
Attracted, mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I was a good student of science without being exaggerating. Mm-hmm. So I used to think that no, science can explain, because science explained what was unexplainable earlier.
Correct.
Science could explain today. Mm. So, it's probably a matter of closer and clearer observation. Mm-hmm. That is what will lead us to the correct conclusion. And that is how science proceeds. And I was...
So, in some way, people were hallucinating. It is not as... it is just that science has not been able to explain it. That's all.
Yes. Or proper scientific observation hasn't been done. At least that's what my view was of several of these things. Mm. Maybe they are true, maybe they are not. And then I must mention this. This is very interesting. There was one Indian serial, TV serial, back then in 87 or so. Aisa Bhi Hota Hai. In that, there was one interviewer who showed one person who could just stare at the aluminium 10 paisa coins. Back then 10 paisa coins were also available. Nowadays we cannot see them, but he would stare at that coin and the coin would turn into powder.
Slowly to turn into powder.
Yes. And they showed it on the TV and I said, wow, that's fantastic. So these kind of things used to impress me, and then from somewhere I heard that...
So even past life...
past life was one of the most memories. Fascinating thing for me, where people would recall what they were in the past. They will go and identify the people of their past lives and talk to them as if they are those past persons, telling their intimate details, which only the other person could have known, kind of things. Those things fascinated me, and so... I always used to pursue those things, and no internet at that time, 1989.
So you were interested in science and also those things which science was still intrigued about.
Yeah, science couldn't explain. Science was still struggling to, justify or find...
Figure means. It out.
But most of the scientists had found a good solution, and that is say that those are fake.
Oh, okay.
And so they will simply throw them out of the window and say, oh, those things cannot happen, and if it's happening, it's all fake, it's all nonsense, so you don't have to worry about it. But another thing, I had heard about Rutherford's experiment. And Rutherford, what he did was to take these alpha particles, bombard onto a gold foil. Most of the particles went through. What fascinated him was not most of the particles going through. What fascinated him was a few particles that actually bounced back.
Mm-hmm.
Few that defied the normalcy of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what led to the structure of atom.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, hey, most of the things, most of the places, it's fine. But it is the few things that are not explainable by science are the actually interesting ones.
Mm.
That is how science
progresses. Are the building blocks of science. You never know.
Yes. Yes, those are the building blocks of science. What we don't know and we get to explain. So we have to discover newer frontiers of science and explain them. So that's how science progresses. So I was thinking this is the best way of progressing science, because we have reached a quantum level where progress has been, I don't know, I was still at the BSc level at that point, and I was thinking, yes, we have reached the frontier level, now we have to move on to the metaphysical level. And the only way is to go and observe these phenomena by oneself.
Yes.
And try and explain it using either the current available science or see if what is missing and add that missing part to science frontier. Yes. And expand the science frontier.
Wow.
So that was simple logic that I was using. That apart, I had this terrific urge right before my exams, probably because I was intensely studying science. I was, as you mentioned earlier, I was college topper, and till then I was a university topper also. And but this urge happened, and the urge was to go and see Sai Baba.
Where did this come from?
I still cannot explain. Honestly, I still cannot explain. Yes, Sai Baba was not a stranger in my house. His pictures were there, but it has been there for almost all my life.
Mm-hmm.
I would see, but I wouldn't be enamored or fascinated. He was rarely ever mentioned at our house. His photo was not at the altar. There were books lying around. Man of Miracles was always there, but never given any importance, never explicit importance to Sai Baba.
So your parents never went to any Sai center or anything?
Known to me, no. But later as I came to know, they were regular visitors of bhajan sessions, etc.
Mm-hmm.
It is just that circumstances where he was posted, there were no Sai group, Sai Mandali or bhajan group. It is not to say my parents were not religious. They were. My father would spend a whole day do vratam and do Krishna puja at midnight and keep us awake, and all those things used to happen. They were religious. They were very, very religious. Sandhya Vandanam twice a day was regular phenomena with my father. I was more irreligious than my parents, and that used to bother them very much. In fact, once my father slapped me when I was very young, and I had asked him, if God is there, what is he doing?
Oh.
So he was very upset with that question. Mm. He said, that's not the right way to ask things, and he had hit me. I remember very clearly, because that didn't stop me from asking that question. It continued. It only spurred me on further. He didn't know that, but within me, it did. Probably that was a hit in the right direction for me, because it kept me going. So these things happened, and this...
So they never, parents never told you to worship Swami or accept him?
No, they never forced me onto anything. They forced me to come and do my puja every day. They said, these are the slokas you have to memorize and chant at the certain time of the day. So those kind of regularity they forced me. Otherwise, they were quite open with almost everything. They never said that Sai Baba is God. They never mentioned that. They also never mentioned about his miracles. until quite late, they did mention in the passing. But nothing of that kind. Nothing of that kind. So where this idea precipitated that I must go and visit Sai Baba, I really cannot pinpoint it. I'm still... Actually, I never thought about it. It was just there until you asked me, where did it start? I still cannot figure it out. But the urge was very strong. I have never ever felt any stronger urge ever in my life. Probably will never ever again. Among other things, I do boast about my self-control. If I don't want to eat something, I will not eat. It may be the most tastiest of my dishes, but if I say I don't want to eat, I will not eat. Certain level of self-control was always there with me. But this was beyond. I just could not control. Just could not. I had to go. So, despite me being top-ranking student, despite my interest in science, and exams being always a fun thing for me, I was prepared to skip the exams.
Oh my God.
Pick up my bag and go to see Sai Baba. And I had a little bit of argument with my father, and he said, I will not give you money. I said, okay, I will walk.
Oh my God.
It went to that extent. I was ready to give up anything and everything to walk, to see Sai Baba.
You were in Coimbatore.
Yeah, I was in Coimbatore. I don't know where Puttaparthi is, by the way. But
He's in Puttaparthi.
Yeah, I know that he's in Puttaparthi. I have heard parents mention, etc. But I know that I have to go to Puttaparthi.
You don't know how far is it? How to reach there?
I don't know in which state Puttaparthi is in.
Oh my God.
Because it's a small village, and there are 3 buses in the whole day that comes to Puttaparthi is what my parent had told me. So, but I listen to my mother. If she says something, I do bow my head and do it. So she told me, write the exams and then I will allow you to go. So I bit my teeth and said, okay, I will hold you to it. I will write the exam and the next day I'm leaving. So she said, okay, I will talk to your father and get you money also. So, if you notice my marks, my 5th semester exams marks were show a dip.
Mm-hmm.
It is because I was completely uninterested in writing the exam.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote because I have to write, but I have to be sincere in whatever I am writing. I wrote. And the day exam got over, next day I picked up my bag, put change pair of clothes, a dari, a towel, and I packed. I said, I'm going. My father gave me 200 rupees. He told me reaching Puttaparthi would cost you about 70 rupees or so. Coming back 70 rupees. The rest is for your stay at Puttaparthi. Go and come back. He, in his own loving way, ensured that I don't stay there for too long. See, I'm putting myself in their position now. Here is a teenage boy who just wants to go away from the house.
Mm.
Fortunately, he's not running after a cinema actor or somewhere else, but he's going to Puttaparthi. This is the first time ever he's stepping out of the house.
Mm.
And there is... my elder brother was already in job. He was away from house. They were concerned. Mm. They were very concerned. I can understand that now, but at that point, I refused to even think in those terms. My father actually, in his old Lambretta scooter, dropped me at the bus stop.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing that happened was the first bus, which would have... he told me that we had to go to Bangalore and then you had to go to Puttaparthi. So the first bus, which would have dropped me at Bangalore at around 3 o'clock, has already left. Because he said, you'll reach Bangalore by 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock there is another bus to Puttaparthi, you can pick up that and you'll reach Puttaparthi by 7 o'clock or so. You can have dinner, sleep, see Sai Baba next day and come back. That was his instruction. So the first bus I have already missed. So I picked up the bus that would leave at 10 o'clock. The bus was already there, so I sat in the bus for 1 hour waiting for it to start.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we started at 10 o'clock and the bus would take a longer route. So it will, as it is, it will reach around 5 o'clock only. Something happened on the way, the bus broke down, I don't remember clearly now, but by the time we were reaching, it was 7 o'clock. So we were delayed by 2 hours. Another interesting thing had happened, and that particular day when I was reaching there, a local politician in Bangalore was murdered.
Oh my God.
So that was a very strange circumstance, and the bus conductor, very generous person, asked me, what are you going to do? I had already told him I'm going to Puttaparthi, etc. We had a little bit of conversation. And he told me, don't stay in the bus stop. I had already told him that I'm going to stay in the bus stop, wait for the next bus. I mean, next day morning's bus. So he said, don't stay at the bus stop because they will arrest you. They had imposed a curfew in Bangalore. And when I got down at Majestic Center, there was hardly anybody around. Literally empty.
It was 7 o'clock in the morning.
7 o'clock in the evening.
In the evening.
In the evening. Nobody in the bus stop. It's practically empty. In fact, now I realize that they allowed the bus to come in was also a strange thing. They had put imposed curfew and so many people are coming, traveling by the bus, same bus. So, anyway. So, I was wondering what to do. And I picked up my bag and started walking out of that bus stop. And one person who was sitting on the fence there looked at me, called me and said, are you looking for a place to stay for the night? For some reason, I trusted him and I said, yes. He said, go along this road, second left or something you take, and they will give you a bed for the night for 5 rupees. Go and sleep there and come tomorrow morning. I don't know, I still don't know what prompted him to ask me that and answer me. And I still don't know what prompted me to follow his instruction. Now, given other circumstances, I wouldn't have. Today, I may not. But that day, I just followed.
I mean, you didn't have also so many buses. We are talking about late 80s.
Yeah,
you hardly had buses from Bangalore to Perth.
Opportunities, nothing. And Bangalore was a strange place. And I was thinking I will go to some hotel lobby, just lie down there. I cannot be even lie down in the street because it's curfew. So I was actually, maybe that's what forced me to listen to him. So at least try out, if not anything else. Makes sense. So I just went and tried out, and I was the first person to knock at the door and say, give me bed. Because usually people, this was around 8 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock. Usually people come around 11 o'clock. So I was the first person in that place where they rent out beds for the night. Just for the night. 5 rupees. So I paid my 5 rupees, went in, put my bed, had a shower, no change of clothes, used the same set of clothes, slept. And around 12 o'clock I woke up, the whole hall was full.
Oh.
Because that's when people walk in.
Mm.
One good thing was there was plenty of water there, I remember very clearly, because I could, 12 o'clock at night, again get up, have a shower and sleep back again. And, I must say that I didn't have a watch. There was a big clock above which there was this dim light. That's how I know the time. So, 4 o'clock I got up again, had a shower, and I thought I shouldn't be delayed, so I went and knocked at the gate, and the gate fellow shouted at me, and the gate will not open till 5:30 apparently. They have their own rules. They will shut down at 12 o'clock, open only after 5:30 or so. So till 5:30 I am sitting at this end of the gate looking outside almost like a jailbird. And at 5:30 he opened. I went, had a tea and a few biscuits, glucose biscuit, and walked to the bus stop, which was not too far away, about 1.5 kilometers, that's all. Went to the bus stop where Puttaparthi buses would travel, Anantapur Puttaparthi buses and all travel in the same direction, so that's where I went and sat, and found out that the bus will not leave till 7:30. So I have another 1.5 hours to spend at least. So I just sat there, I don't know what to do. And after some time, I mentioned this because very important in the later half of this journey, this person came and sat with a turban, and he was nodding off, dozing off. And he came by the Salem bus. I know this because he told me later, and also because other people came by the same bus. And he was sitting, he was nodding. I was sitting next to him, and no sleep. I'm just excited. I need to go. Need to go. If I had known there was any other way to go to Puttaparthi, I would have done and used it. But anyway, this bus came, 7:30, and we started off. Only a few people actually. And the bus, I remember this very clearly because the bus conductor said, very strange that it is so empty. He mentioned this. I don't know why he mentioned it, but later on it becomes clear to me why he mentioned it. So, very strange that it is empty. And then anyway, we started off and it was supposed to reach 7:30, means around 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, it was supposed to reach Puttaparthi because it took the Penukonda route,
yes.
Longer route.
Yes.
And halfway through it broke down.
Oh.
Somehow dragged up to Penukonda. Penukonda is apparently a bus depot or something there. And he told us that a new bus will drop us at Puttaparthi, but this bus, this is the end of the journey for it. I didn't have too much money, so I was conserving whatever I had. I had not had anything the whole day previously because I was saving the money for spending at Puttaparthi.
You were starving.
Literally. Not bothered too much, but I was starving. I had only coconut water and that coconut inside stuff, which is wonderful, nourishing. Things are very tempting around you. I mean, all the biscuits and tea, but I was saying, no, I will not. Because I don't have too much money, I should not. There at Penukonda, nothing was available. Whatever little was available, there was a family with a couple of children, they had already bought and they were using it. So, I didn't bother to go and talk to them or anything. I kept to myself. And then, slowly got started talking with this person who was a turbaned person, nodding his head. He was apparently a pujari in one of the temples in Salem. He was a sevadal who was supposed to go previous day, but for some reason got delayed and was coming today. So, I didn't think much of it at that point. And he said, this is the first time you are coming to Puttaparthi? I said, yes. He said, don't worry, I will help you. I said, I don't need any help really, but okay. Why hurt a person? I mean, who offers you help, why hurt him? Thank you, I said. And we started talking, we talked about various things. He started telling me about Sai Baba. And of course, my curiosity was, how does he create all the things that he creates? Have you seen him? He said, yes, I have seen so many times. Vibhuti, chain and this thing. Yes. But have you seen him close? Yes, I have seen closely also. Did you see anything different? I said, no, he will wave his hand and suddenly it will appear. That's all he would say. And he would repeat that for any number of questions that I have asked him. So that was a dead end and I said, okay, fine. But then he is not a scientist, right? So, and he is a temple pujari, right? So, belief comes easy for him. Unlike me. Unlike the unfortunate me. It doesn't come that easily. So, that happened and then the other bus came and we reached Puttaparthi, and I saw a huge crowd. And I said, every day is like this? No. This is Sai Baba's birthday.
Oh.
Till then, I did not know that it is Sai Baba's birthday.
So you are coming for his birthday?
Birthday. He called me at his birthday in 1989. We reached on 22nd, which is a convocation day and birthday celebrations going on. That's why so many. And now it makes sense when the bus conductor said the bus is empty. Because it is Swami's birthday, so many people would have been traveling. So, and probably Swami timed it so much, so well that the exams got over on 20th for me, 20th of November, 21st I travel, 22nd I am at Puttaparthi. So, he timed it everything in his own way. Okay, we reached Puttaparthi and I was famished by then. And this family, very gentle family, they rushed to the bakery, got some whatever was left there because everything was over. And what were left was potato buns and they got some potato bun. And potato bun since then has been my favorite food.
Because it nourished you when you were totally down and out.
Yeah, but there is an emotional attachment too. Because that's the first food I had when I reached Puttaparthi.
Wow.
So that is the potato bun story. I loved it. We reached, and then this person who was there with me suddenly told me, no, I am a sevadal, I had to go and report to my seniors or somebody. And he went off and he said, wait here for some time, 10 minutes, I will come back. So I said, oh hey, he has been so friendly, I will wait. And very quickly he came back and he said, come, let's go. And he took me, at that time it was the bookstall, but now it's the Central Trust office. We were in that corner. And he took me straight to the Poornachandra auditorium, and auditorium was full. So we were sitting outside the auditorium. He made me sit there and he said, no, I am Sevadal, so I have other duties to do. I will go, you please sit here and come down from the stairs and wait. I will come back and pick you up.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, I will follow him. No problem. Because the event was supposed to begin or something like that. Then suddenly I see a band coming, Vedam chanting going on and all those things, and everybody alert, necks craning, looking towards the temple. I still didn't know that was the temple, by the way. But anyway, towards the temple. And then somebody said, oh, Sai Baba is coming, Sai Baba is coming. Swami is coming. I mean, that was the word. I looked at them strangely, but whatever. And then Swami comes. I remember this very clearly. He stops directly in front of me, about 50, 60 meters away, but directly in front of me. And he turns around and looks at me. Now, Swami has this strange thing. No matter how far away he is sitting, if he is looking at you, you know he is looking at you. So that was the feeling I got. So far away, but very piercing eyes looking at me. I said, okay, I am here. I hope you give me a chance to look at you closely.
And that's what you felt.
Yeah, that was. And then it was only for a moment. It wasn't long. It wasn't as if I took far longer to describe than what really happened. Okay. So he went and Swami talked about everything. Event went on. And what I observed was, among the boys who went in, there were a few fair-skinned people, and they were not from India, clearly. So the person next to me, in a white shirt and a white dhoti, he was mentioning that, look, this is a fantastic college. People from abroad also come to study here. I was thinking, this is a villager sitting, what will he know? But still, okay, let me respect him. Why offend somebody just like that? I said, yes, very good college. See how beautifully they are playing the band. Yes, they were playing the band beautifully, that's no doubt. They chant Vedam, oh, okay, fantastic. Yeah, our college, there is no Vedam, no band, nothing. I mean, it's not a great college comparatively. Everything fine, and we got talking, and he said something, and we had a long conversation. I forget about the whole topic of discussion, but finally I asked, who are you? And he said, I am the registrar of Madurai Kamaraj University.
Oh.
So that really hit me for several reasons. First, a registrar being so humble and sitting next to you and describing the college, very rare. It's not a everyday happening. Second, a registrar advising about another college, even rarer. He will always say, my college is the best.
Mm.
And third, in that dress, something must have inspired him to do all these things. So these things kind of struck me as very strange. And I told him, I am doing BSc. And he said, you must find admission in this college. This is fantastic. So I said, no. I will go to IISc, IITs. I know I will qualify. No problems for me. I will go to either IISc, Indian Institute of Science, who have an integrated BE program at that point. Or I will do my MSc at IIT Bombay or IIT Chennai, Madras at that time. That's what I said. No. Those colleges are nothing compared to this. Here you will get a different level of education, which you will not find anywhere else. I said, okay, let's see. So this event happened, and after the event was over, I came down as instructed by the Pujari. I came down and waited, and within 5-7 minutes I was looking here and there trying to figure out where I am really. He came down. It was around 8 o'clock, 8:30 by the time the event got over. again I am feeling hungry because I only had one potato bun. And we went to the South Indian canteen where the food was free for that day and the next day. And we sat for food. And I had this fantastic bitter gourd sambar. Will again never forget all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was served by a person whom now I know very well, by Renju sir. I remember him clearly because of the way he looked at what I wanted to be served and etc. He was serving that sambar. And after the food, we were looking for a place to stay. Now, this was in 1989, so this current South Indian canteen was not there. It was an old building, very old building at that point. And it terminated around West 2, the length of it. And after that, shed was shed number 2. And opposite to the shed number 2 was a series of bathrooms.
Mm.
So this person takes me to West 3, to the top floor, and he says, this is where we are going to sleep. Generously, the people at whose doorsteps we are sleeping, they didn't object. They were very nice and generous. So this person showed me the place and I put my bag down and slept, satisfied and ruminating over what all had happened. And I slept. It was around 8:30, 9 o'clock probably, 9:15. And very soon I got up with a very strange dream.
Mm-hmm.
Very strange because Sai Baba is standing there. I am standing in whites. I don't wear whites for the simple reason that it gets dirty very quickly. So I didn't like whites at that point. But I was in whites, and there was this cattle guard fencing inside which all the students were sitting. I know them to be students now, all in whites singing bhajans. And Sai Baba was standing outside that fencing. I am standing outside that fencing. Sai Baba is standing outside that fencing. All students are inside. And in my mind, the thought goes, when he is standing outside, why are you boys sitting inside? And then I start running towards him. This is happening in a dream. I start running towards him. I do not reach him.
Mm-hmm.
Before I reach, about 3/4 of the way, I completely vanish.
You vanish.
I vanish. He is there smiling.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very strange dream. Very strange for me. So I wake up. With a start, I wake up. And it's around 11 o'clock. I know because the lights were never switched off in the corridor. The lights mm-hmm. were on and I looked at the neighbor's watch. I shake my head and then I go back to sleep. Oh, too much happening today. And I slept. And the dream happened again. Exactly the same thing, same sequence, same words.
And you vanish again.
And I again vanish 3/4 of the way. Again I wake up, and this time I am even more startled, partly sweating. What is this? This is not good. I am really going mad. I shake my head, drink a little water, and then again I sleep. I sleep peacefully, and the dream happens a third time.
Oh my God.
And this time I wake up and it's around 4 o'clock.
So every time, again, the third time
exactly
also
exactly same. No change in the dream. No.
So
change.
You're running to Swami, but midway,
vanish.
You are vanishing.
Vanish.
And there is Swami and there are his students.
Yes, there are his students. His students in the fencing, within the fencing, singing bhajans.
Mm.
And he's standing and smiling. Mm. There is no change in his countenance, no change in anything.
Mm.
Just that I run, I do not reach him.
Hmm.
Before that, I vanish. So, I am trying to shake this dream off myself even as I get up and say, this is not good. Because in my mind, I am thinking, if I get so influenced, my objectivity of science will go.
Mm-hmm. Because when you saw first Swami also, your only thought process was, can I observe him closely?
Yes. Yes.
That was the only thing that was there.
That is the goal. To observe closely. I didn't come to see Swami. I came to see Satya Sai Baba. And I came to see a miracle at close hand. That's what.
And so-called
miracle.
If you can
understand it.
Expand the frontiers of science to explain it.
Yes. The goal was, if I can explain it, using science, then others can repeat it.
Oh, okay.
That is the goal of science, right? I mean, understand it.
Yes.
Repeat it. So everybody can create whatever they want. There is so much want all over the country. So I want food, I create food, I eat food, I am happy. Disease is there, I cure the disease. There will be peace and happiness.
See, if this person is able to do it, and if it can be explained by science, then it definitely can be replicated.
Definitely can be replicated. And we can cure the problem of science. I mean, I shouldn't say I was such an expansive mind, but that was the goal. That was the idea. That there is so much problem in the world. Let's reduce it a little bit.
And it's a very, looks like a simplistic solution.
Yes, very simplistic solution. When it is available on hand, why not implement it? And I was thinking, it's pretty foolish not to do it. I must be honest, I did not come to explain Sai Baba. That was not my goal. I did not come as a skeptic. I came more as an agnostic. I don't believe in God because there is no proof of God. It's not that I don't believe saying that he doesn't exist. No, that was not the idea. I did not come to expose by no circumstance. I did not come to expose him because at certain level I believed he could do it. Okay. He could create things. I mean, very simple reason. So many people cannot be wrong at the same time. Just sheer numbers of it tells you that there is something. I mean, there is no smoke without fire. Right? So, if so many people are telling, so many people are coming, so many people are talking about him, there is something. And I did not come with a grand idea that I should become famous. No, that was also not the idea. The simple idea was I should be able to explain with science. And if possible, replicate it. It might require strange circumstances to do it, but let's do it. What's there? The whole idea about science is repetition. You should be able to, anybody should be able to repeat it. So that's all. So this dream actually breaks my objectivity. So I didn't like it too much. But it stuck with me because it happened thrice exactly the same way. So I got up and I checked the time again, 4:30 or so. My neighbor also, the same person, he also got up. He said, let's go take bath before it gets occupied. So we got out and that's when I realized I don't have toothbrush. I don't have toothpaste. No. I think I had a towel. I don't have soap. I don't have mug. I am not equipped to travel. Simple. In my passion to be there, I had forgotten about all these things. But this person produced everything for me. He got the toothpaste. He said, here is the toothpaste. Use your finger as a brush. I said, fine. He said, here is the soap. Here is the mug. Go take bath and come.
Literally taking complete care of you.
Yes. I realized when he, that's when I said, I will help you. I realized I am thankful at that moment. I said, yes, please help me. I was grateful. Today also I am grateful to him. If I meet, I will definitely express my gratefulness. But at that moment, I almost took everything for granted.
Yeah. It was just happening.
It was just happening.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize the importance of all these things. Till much later. So, he did everything. So, all those things happened and then we went for morning darshan. The morning darshan was in Purnachandra and Swami's discourse was there. We had the rest of the day, I don't remember much, really. Then, one more event happened which I remembered, which really prompted me to join this college. And that is, the conversation with registrar is still ringing in my mind as I go through the day. And then I finally ask him, how do I join this college?
Oh, you asked him that day, the previous day itself. Or you met him again?
No, not the registrar. The friend who is helping me, the pujari.
Pujari you asked.
Yeah. Not even for a moment thinking that he will have a way to tell me. It is more of a rhetoric question rather than expecting an answer. That he said, oh, you want to join? I will tell you how. And he said, I have a friend who is a student here. He is also from Madurai. And we can ask him. I said, fine, where do I meet him? He said, they are students, very busy, we should not disturb them. Today's birthday, they'll be very busy. But they will go back to the hostel. We can go near the hostel and meet them. And for the rest of the day, I'm just looking forward to the moment where I can meet this person. Okay. turns out he is 11th class student, which was a bit of a letdown. And I told him I want to join, and very politely he replied, see brother, the advertisement will be put sometime in February. If you give me your address, I will inform you. I said, okay. I did not have a pen. This boy had a pen with him, but no paper to write on. So we looked around, and there was this old-time glucose biscuits used to be wrapped in a wax paper.
Mm.
And that paper is lying around. I picked it up, wrote my name and address, and handed it over to him, and walked back. And we were thinking, at least I was thinking, this is 11th class kid. Will he even remember me as soon as he entered the hostel? Forget about February. So with that, it closed. And this person still continued to take care of me. He provided everything, took me everywhere, showed me everything, and then put me in the bus up to Salem.
Oh.
Paid for my tickets.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He knew I'm not earning, but he was earning, apparently. And then he said, from Salem, you have to take a Coimbatore bus. And he knew that I did not know at that point to read and write Tamil. So he said, he wrote on a piece of paper how Coimbatore will be written.
Oh my God.
Yes. He did so much things. So many things.
That is really amazing.
Amazing. Amazing.
I mean, it's like, you know, it only reminds one of the extent of care that Swami would take.
Swami would take. Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how detailed Swami would be, you know,
he did.
When Swami looks after you,
yeah,
physically, yeah. If yeah. You have seen.
Yeah. Yeah. At that moment, but the point is, when it's happening, we don't realize it. We don't realize it. He put me in the bus, then he went to get his own bus to Madurai. And then he said, go. I said, fine. I reached home. I did not even, see... The moment everything stuck me was not through all these things. In February, I received a postcard. February of 1990, I received a postcard saying that, Sairam, the applications are out. If you send me a demand draft of rupees 50, drawn on favor, so and so, etc., I will send you. That is when it really hit me.
So the 11th class boy, after 3 months, remembered...
Remembers
and he sends. Wow.
Yes. That's when I suddenly realized how much this Shankaran Purohit, this Pujari priest, how much he had taken care. Because then everything flashed back. That is when I realized, oh my God, this was terrific.
In fact, you know, in the temples, the Pujari takes us to God.
Yes. He literally did it.
That's what happened.
Fantastic.
The Pujari... Took you to God. I mean, God himself perhaps came. As a Pujari, to take you to him. I mean,
so this was marvelous. Now, when I received the postcard, the first thought was, if an 11th class boy can remember this after a couple of months, and that too a few seconds meeting. We didn't meet for long. Few seconds. He cannot stand there for too long. He can just say, you know how our system is, right?
Yes.
So within that, and hastily written address on a glucose waxed paper, glucose biscuits cover waxed paper.
Which will probably disappear after some time.
Not disappear. See.
It's smudged.
It won't write.
Yes.
So it is not even, it's an indentation on that. It's not writing actually.
Yes.
It's just a pressure.
Yeah.
He has made the effort to go back and write down the address correctly.
Correctly, yes.
And then remembered that when the advertisement comes, he has to post this postcard.
Wow.
So that really impressed me. I said, if a school is producing these kind of children, it is worth studying there.
Wow.
Right? I was a BSc student. I wouldn't have, personally at that point, wouldn't have done this. But if an 11th class boy can remember this and do this, it is a college, it is a school, which is teaching you something which other colleges are not teaching you. Definitely not.
And sometimes, you know, when your near and dear ones only want you to do some things... And you forget to do.
Yes, yes.
And here is someone who has no clue about who are you. And there is nothing at stake for him.
Nothing at stake, exactly. Nothing at stake. And still he does.
And still, he did it. Wow.
So that impressed me so much. And I remember this because I fought with my father to get that demand draft immediately and send it.
Because your father probably would have wanted you to join IITs or IISc.
Yes, yes. My father wanted me to join IITs or IISc, not at Puttaparthi. So I had to argue with him about this. Also, he was little afraid. By that time, see, what happened in between was there was a change in me. And I stopped watching TV automatically. I was never a big fan of TV watching anyways. But I completely refused to watch TV. Even cricket I wasn't watching.
After you returned from Perth?
Yeah.
Means it just happened.
It just happened. It's not conscious effort at all.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather, there was a temple nearby our house. Most often I'll be sitting at the temple.
And doing what?
Doing nothing. Simply sitting.
Since you love the ambience.
I love the ambience and I would just love to sit quiet and watch people and watch that Vigraham. It was a Devi temple. Just watch that. That's all. Nothing else. I was not interested in anything in particular. Rather than hearing the noise at the house, rather than hearing the TV noise at the house, I would sit here. That's all. And nothing. I shouldn't go to that direction saying that no, I was a sannyasi and all those. That was nonsense. It was not like that.
It's not as if you are praying something intensely to Devi.
No, praying. I preferred silence to that noise.
That's
simple.
All.
But that's not how my parents looked at it. Now I can understand.
They were thinking something fundamentally is changing.
Changed him. And if he goes, he'll become a sannyasi. I can understand today.
Yeah, I know.
That time it wasn't very apparent to me.
Mm.
I said, no, I'm going there for science. Can't you understand? Can't you see? I was disappointed to a certain level with my trip that I couldn't see any magic or miracle.
Oh, during that trip?
Yeah. Swami didn't perform any. Or I didn't get to see. He must have performed, I mean, hundreds. I shouldn't say he did not. But I didn't get to see any.
That didn't happen.
So I was kind of disappointed with the whole trip. But there was a miracle which he had performed, which I was still not aware of. Yes. So that happened. And I fought with my father, got the demand draft, sent it. The application came back. Again, we had a little bit of tiff. I said, at least let me write the entrance exam. Let me see what it is all about. So I wrote. In the meantime, I wrote entrance exam for IIT and everything. And I know I qualified there. I was pretty sure of this. Here also, in the ranking, I was on the top. And in the interview, Professor Saraf was sitting in the interview and he asked me a blunt question. Where else have you applied?
The then Vice Chancellor.
Yes, the then Vice Chancellor, sir. So, it was very straightforward and blunt question. Where else have you applied? I said, IISc and IITs. Will you qualify there? I said, yes, I'm very sure of that. So you will leave this place and go. I said, no way. If I get a seat here, I'm tearing off those applications.
You told that?
Yeah. I remember my answer very clearly that if I get a seat here, I will tear those applications and throw them away. I need here first. So, he looked at me and said, we will see. And that's all the interview. I mean, 2 minutes. I came, sat, few seconds, and then so I said, gone. Maybe I was too arrogant to answer like that. And I started praying, oh my God, did I lose my only chance? I was praying hard. Swami, not Swami, what is this? What is this? I shouldn't have probably answered like that. I should have been more polite and all those things. And when the final list came, I made through. So I was... and another little bit of thing...
So no one came with you also for the entrance? And you
yes,
came alone.
In fact, that's what I wanted to tell. No one came.
So if
and the exam was on May 8th. The results would be declared on May 12th. What do I do in between? Should I go and come back? Or should I wait? There is no way to inform my parents because they don't even have a telephone. By the time I put a letter and postcard, I would reach there after May 12th. So I chose not to inform them. but wait for the entrance results. And here we were in shed number 2. I did a lot of service in the South Indian canteen. We sang a lot of bhajans. There was a group of young boys. We all had come for writing entrance exam. We did lot of fun service. I mean, service was
so
fun.
You liked all that?
Oh, I enjoyed. I thoroughly enjoyed. I mean, I always loved doing service. And that was something that is not for me was always a good thing.
Mm.
So I enjoyed singing bhajans. But then, as my friend put it, you have a donkey's voice, you cannot sing. So, and that is true. Gardaba kantham, so donkey's throat. He tried making me sing. He had applied for MBA and I had applied for MSc chemistry. And he was a fantastic singer. He tried teaching me Sarigama Padane. He said, no, you cannot forget it. You just follow. I said, okay, fine. So all those things happened and we waited and the results came. And then I was so happy. The first question I asked was, when should I join? And I was told I was supposed to report back on May 18th because Swami, after such a long time, is starting the summer course again.
Oh, summer course is restarting.
1990, yes.
Mm.
So I went home. Parents were crying.
Oh.
They were crying because they didn't know what happened to me.
Where are you going? What is happening to your life?
No. I was supposed to be back on 9th.
Oh, okay. You didn't
after the exam. I did not inform them. There was no way of informing them.
Hmm.
They thought I am lost and all those things. Oh. I reached home 12th was the results declared and 12th late at night around 1 o'clock final bus I reached home and there are relatives at home thinking that
it's a crisis
all because of me.
Hmm. But what could you have also done?
I couldn't have done anything. Yeah, I did not know what to do. Everybody, they don't know whether to shout at me praise me or whatever, but at that moment, I felt that is the right thing to do. I just simply did it. That's all. Parents were happy to see me. And father declared clearly, no, you are not joining that place.
Thank you. ప్రేమ స్వరూపులారా, ప్రేమ స్వరూపులారా, నేను ఎప్పుడూ మీ వెంటనే జంటనే ఇంటనే ఉంటుంటాను. కనుక మీరందరూ కూడా ఐకమత్యంతో పరిచేయండి. నా సీట్ ఇక్కడ కాదు,
భగవాన్ సీట్ ఇస్ నాట్ హియర్,
నా సీట్ మీ యొక్క హృదయమే,
భగవాన్ చైర్ ఇస్ యువర్ హార్ట్.
కనుకనే మీరు ఎక్కడ ఉంటే అక్కడ కూడా స్వామి ఉంటున్నాడు.
స్వామి ఇస్ దేర్ వేర్ ఎవర్ యు ఆర్.
ఏ కొరతను మీకు జరగవు,
నథింగ్ విల్ హ్యాపెన్ టు యు.
ఏ విధమైనటువంటి అపజయాలు మీకు జరగవు,
యు విల్ నెవర్ హావ్ ఫెయిల్యూర్.
కానీ పరిపూర్ణమైన విశ్వాసంతో మీరు పనిలో ప్రారంభించండి.
వర్క్ విత్ టోటల్ ఫెయిత్.
ఏ పని చేసినా కూడా ఇది భగవత్ కార్యంగా భావించండి.
వాట్ ఎవర్ యు మే డూ, గుడ్ వర్క్, టేక్ ఇట్ యాస్ గాడ్స్ వర్క్.